This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Lido, here's Hightaylor with Sportsline.
And good morning, everyone. It is Sportsline on a Saturday morning on WRMJ, a program that has come over these great airwaves of this great local radio station since all the way back in 1979, which is the very year that this station signed on the airwaves from Alito, Illinois. This is Ty Taylor. Welcome inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios on a Saturday morning. Boy, a lot to get to this morning. That's for sure. An eventful week five around the Three Rivers Athletic Conference as part of the 2025 high school football season, which is now past the midway point of the regular season. And really, as we talked about coming into the week, and we talked about it last week on the show, and we talked about it throughout, you know, all of our broadcasts last night too, I mean, this was a week that felt like it was the biggest week of the season, obviously, that's taken place to this point, but really, I think the biggest and most consequential week of the season as a whole. By the time we get to the end, speaking, you know, hyper-locally about the track, because it really felt like both divisions, you know, the Rock with the smaller schools and the Mississippi side with the bigger schools, would be decided with the you know, presumptive and definitive now top two teams in each division going at it, with Rockridge at home against Newman last night, and then Monmouth-Roseville going on the road to play Princeton. We'll get into all of the specific matchups and the scores and takeaways and maybe storylines moving forward as we start to look down the line and take a look at, you know, maybe the postseason path for some teams. This morning we'll have a little bit of a different type of format just because, and it feels like I'm like a magician giving away the secrets of magic here. This program isn't live this morning. This was recorded late last night, or maybe, I guess, early Saturday morning, because I have to leave town today. Hopefully right now I didn't like oversleep my alarm and I'm on the road as this is airing to Milwaukee. One of my very best friends in this whole world, Cade Sharp, is getting married and we have his bachelor trip this weekend. So that's where I'm going. Again, like I said, hopefully as this is airing, you know, just past the top of the 9 o'clock hour, I am awake and I am far away from Alito because I'm supposed to be up there for a tea time at like 11:15, I think. So hopefully for sure I am nearing and out of the listening area of the WRMJ tower that is boosting from just west of Lee. That's enough about me. I don't think anybody really cares what I'm doing. What people are tuning in and listening for is most likely probably, and I don't think they're really listening to hear what I have to say or what I think either, really. I think mostly what people tune into this program for, and rightfully so, of course, is what the great, you know, coaches we have on from not just, you know, local schools we cover, but around the league And we have a great group of coaches to talk to today. Now, Mercer County head coach Fred Lucas won't be joining us live in studio because I'm not here. It'd be kind of stupid if he just showed up and there was nobody here. We know we'd be able to let him in the door, right? So we'll replay our conversation with him from last night, and then we'll have conversations with Rock Ridge head coach Sam Graves, Orion head coach Chip Filler, Sherrard head coach Dan McGuire, and then Monmouth-Roseville head coach Jeremy Adolphson will talk with us this morning as well. So that's all coming later. But before we get to our coaches' conversations, want to run through the week that was last night. Like we said, certainly games that were very important for both conference championship races, and then when you factor in teams trying to give themselves, you know, the best possible seeding and path in the postseason, super important. Every win, of course. So we'll start in the Rock Division with the Rock Ridge Rockets, who improved to 5-0 on the year with a big-time win, taking down Newman Central Catholic 26-6. Rock Ridge avenges losses from the past two seasons to Newman. 2023, that score was 12-7. 2024, that score was 15-7 in overtime. Newman scored the first 6 points of the night, but Rock Ridge from that point on would score, you know, the final four touchdowns, winning it 26-6, not allowing Newman to score from that point on. And I think it's so impressive and important for Rock Ridge the way they won that game last night. Because we talked about it with Coach Graves coming into the game, and we'll speak with him, you know, coming up later in the show today about maybe what the difference was from the past 2 years to this year offensively. Because really, and as we've, you know, spoke about so much, and we speak so highly of Colin Schweigen, and rightfully so, the only really program and team that has slowed him down has been Newman over the past 2 years. Like we said, just 7 points each over those two games in 2023 and then 2024. So for them to be able to kind of right the ship, and it felt like, you know, a game where Rock Ridge as a program avenged, you know, some losses and poor performances, but really Colin Schweigen individually feels like he did that too. He accounted for all four touchdowns that Rock Ridge scored, two through the air, two on the ground. And for them to be able to win that game the way they did, it just, I think, says a lot about where they're at. And I've been really impressed with Rock Ridge specifically about the way they've been able to, you know, just kind of transfer from year to year, where we've talked about it a lot. They lost so much last year with, you know, guys like Jude Finch and Landon Bull and Landon Wheatley and down the line, some really high-impact guys who played a lot of downs on both sides of the ball. But especially defensively, you know, speaking what those three guys did at kind of each level of the defense, for them to be able to transition to this year and just pick right up where they left off, plug and play with some of the new pieces, and to hold that Newman team, which has been really good offensively all year to this point, to just 6 points and really kind of, you know, dominate them from that side of the ball and offensively get things rolling, such a great sign for the Rockets. And when you look down the line at their schedule and you look down the line at the potential, you know, 2A postseason bracket, it just feels so important, because right now I think they have a very good chance and very likely, you know, should at the very worst be 8-1. They play Monmouth-Roseville in week 8, which will, you know, certainly be a battle, and I think both teams will definitely be 7-0 going into that. But outside of that, you look at Rock Ridge's schedule in week 6. Next week, they play at home against Orion, which they, you know, will be heavily favored in. They'll be heavy favorites in week 7 on the road at Mercer County. Then week 9, they play against Hall on the road, which they will be heavily favored in that game as well. So really, the rest of the regular season, I think the only true test they'll have is Monmouth-Roseville, but they've certainly passed, you know, the first two major tests on the schedule with the, of course, the win over Princeton earlier in the season, and then the win over Newman this week with flying colors. That is without a doubt. Well, we were just speaking about Monmouth-Roseville. Boy, what a performance for them last night, too. They go on the road, and for the second year in a row, just thump Princeton. Last year, it was 31-3. Last night, it was 36-8. Titans didn't give up a point until the second half. And I think going in, to me at least, this felt like a game that was probably a toss-up. And I thought, you know, really, to be quite honest with you, the past 2 years, I've thought going into the game that Princeton personally
was the favorite. Now, I think it didn't think it was like an overwhelming favorite by any stretch, but definitely, I mean, like we do our picks with View from the West. And I think definitely both years I picked Princeton in this game against Monmouth-Roseville and have been wrong both times. So maybe I'll learn next year to not pick against the Titans in this matchup. But like very similar and really kind of echoing what we said about Rock Ridge is just with Monmouth-Roseville, the way they were able to do it now 2 years in a row, I think really speaks volumes about where that program is. And especially when you think about where, you know, it's come from, where last season was Monmouth-Roseville's first ever outright football conference championship. When you talk about like the consolidated Monmouth-Roseville school district, there really hasn't been a lot of football success really. And it's hard to believe, I think, if you started following recently, because they've been so good over the past, you know, 3 or 4 years, but especially the last 2 years, definitely, that it just feels like they're a team that you really have to play really, really well to have a chance of beating. And the other thing I like about Monmouth-Roseville and what was impressive is, you know, the first 4 weeks of the season, their opponents being Mercer County and Orion and then Kewaunee and then Mendota. I mean, it's not the four strongest teams you'll see all year. I think certainly Orion is a team that has a chance to get to the postseason, but the other three, you know, speaking about Mercer County, Kewaunee, and Mendota, really, really don't have postseason aspirations, where you weren't really sure how tested Monmouth-Roseville had been. And yes, they had just bulldozed everybody, but you wondered, you know, okay, how good are these teams they're playing? But I will say, I think everybody agrees that Princeton, especially with just the pedigree of the program, with some of the high-end talent they have. Now, I don't think they're as deep as they have been in years past, where they're, you know, just a team you can like sharpie in to be a 3A quarterfinalist. But this is still a very good Princeton team. And for Monmouth-Roseville to win this game going away for, you know, the second consecutive year, with the type of, you know, top-end talent, too, that Monmouth-Roseville lost from a year ago. I mean, they still have a very solid group of kids returning coming into the year, but it felt like there were some maybe question marks about some of those slots. I know their depth isn't nearly as strong as it was a year ago. So really impressive with what Coach Adolphson has been able to do with this club, and just, you know, the strides that they've made, I think says a lot about him, you know, the program where it's at now there, and then the kids, of course, too, who are, you know, who have, I should say, done a tremendous job in transitioning from a very successful year last year, where they kind of came up short in the postseason and probably felt that the season ended prematurely, to this year trying to make sure that doesn't happen again. And they're off to a 5-0 start, a great win, kind of a signature win again this year for Monmouth-Roseville. Doing it on the road on homecoming for Princeton as well, which I think is kind of doubly impressive when you factor in, I'm sure Princeton was really up for that game, wanting to avenge the loss from a year ago that they suffered, and Monmouth-Roseville not allowing to do that to them. So congrats to Coach Adolphson. We'll have him on a little bit later on in the program. All right, back to the Rock Division. Mercer County on the WRMJ airwaves suffered a tough loss last night, falling at home to Erie Provincetown, 43-15. Golden Eagles now 1-4 on the season. Erie Provincetown moves to 3-2. And when you hear the score, 43-15, obviously sounds like blowout, but really in that game, it felt like there were three plays that led to like a 21 or 28 point swing. And you'll hear Coach Lucas talk about this coming up later in the program too. But Mercer County late in the first half, I think with under 2 minutes to play, if I remember correctly, had the ball, you know, near midfield, past midfield, I believe, and were driving down 15-7 and fumbled the ball in kind of a botched handoff exchange. Erie Provincetown recovers, goes down, and where this is a point of the game where it's 15-7, Mercer County can make it 15-14 or, you know, 16-15 if they get the two-point conversion, if they're able to end up punching it in. Turn it over. Erie Provincetown scores a touchdown with 35 seconds left in the half to make it 22-8 at halftime. And then they return the opening kickoff of the third quarterback. And just like that, in like 2 minutes of game time, you go from potentially tying it or trailing by one to, you know, being down by 21 points. And there was also an interception that Erie Provincetown got that was returned for a touchdown in the first half. I know Mercer County turned it over three times, and I believe off the top of my head, and I don't have the stats in front of me as I'm speaking about this, but it was either 14 or 21 points off of turnovers for Erie Prophetstown 2, which is the difference. And for the Golden Eagles, it just has felt like they haven't been able to get the momentum moving in the right direction when it comes to taking care of the ball. After last night, I believe Mercer County's turnover differential on the season now is negative 11. I think it's 14 turnovers on offense to three takeaways on defense. And it just is so hard to win games when just consistently you're turning the ball over, you know, double, you know, maybe not double, but two times or more often than your opponent in each game. It just is hard to overcome that. And with the struggles that Mercer County has had defensively, you know, haven't been able to string together very many stops the past few weeks, you know, giving up 40 plus in three consecutive games. Now it feels like you almost have to be like perfect on offense, just because I think right now there maybe isn't a whole lot of trust in the, on the defensive side of things for Mercer County. So certainly got to try to shore some of that up, but for the Golden Eagles, it's unfortunate because, man, it doesn't get any easier at all when you look at the next 3 weeks specifically, as Mercer County will play at Newman on Saturday afternoon next week up in Sterling. Rock Ridge comes to town week 7. Princeton comes to town week 8. Then Mercer County wraps up the season with a lengthy road trip to Mendota. So for them, certainly can't, you know, feel sorry for yourself. Got to get back out there. Got to keep playing hard, because again, the next 3 weeks are going to be very challenging just with the level of opponent that Mercer County has coming up. Again, with that stretch of Newman, Rock Ridge, and then Princeton. Looking at Erie Prophetstown, though, a very important win for them, and their final 4 week stretch is they're now 3-2 is intriguing, because it feels like there are games in there that are, you know, kind of toss-ups when you look at the next 2 weeks for them, playing Erie Prophetstown next week, then Orion the week after that, week 8 against Mendota, week 9 against the Princeton Tigers. I don't think they're going to want to go into that game against Princeton at 4-4. So it feels like the next 3 weeks, when you talk about being at 3-2 and playing, like we just went over, Riverdale, Orion, and Mendota, want to have to definitely go 2-1. And I think, at least from my perspective, Riverdale, after seeing all of these teams, is probably favored over Erie Prophetstown. And boy, that Erie Prophetstown Orion game in week 7 feels like it's almost a de facto play-in game into the playoffs, because I think, you know, both of those teams have 4 wins total on the schedule without playing that one. And I think that will determine which one of those teams gets into the postseason. But, of course, the Panthers will try to knock off Riverdale next week and make that maybe a little bit more of a moot point. Now, more games from last night as we look at the Rock Division of the Track. The final game was Riverdale and Orion, homecoming in Port Byron. Riverdale wins it 42-28. The Rams scored the first 21 points of the night. Orion, you know, speaking with Coach Filler, it sounded like they got within 7 two different times, 7 points, made it a one-score game 2 different times, never tied it or took the lead, and Orion just was unable to get enough stops to win that game. So Riverdale all of a sudden is sitting at 4-1. Orion drops to 2-3. Looking at Orion's, you know, schedule down the line, Chargers have a tough one against the Rock Ridge Rockets next week, which feels like it'll be, you know, hard for them to get a win. So if Orion falls to Rock Ridge on Friday next week, they'll be sitting at 2-4, needing to win their final 3 games of the season, which will be against Erie Prophetstown in week 7. In week 8, they play Sherrard, and week 9 against Kewaunee. Now, Sherrard and Kewaunee are both winless to this point. Like we said, Rock Ridge will be tough to beat. So like we were just speaking about, it feels like that game, Orion versus Erie Prophetstown in week 7, will be like almost a kind of winner-take-all. One team into the postseason, one, you know, maybe not be eliminated that night, but basically, you know, put on the brink of elimination from trying to get into week 10. So that'll be fun to follow for sure, but I think next week it will be fun anyway, watching the quarterback battle of Colin Schweigen and Cale Filler next Friday night with Rock Ridge and Orion go at it. Boy, Riverdale, what a run they've been on this year, getting to 4-1 on the season. And looking at their schedule down the line, you know, it's really favorable. They have Newman still to play, but like we just were talking about, a game with Erie Prophetstown that to me, you know, is kind of a evenly matched matchup. I, though, do at this point give a slight edge to Riverdale, I think, in that one. And then weeks 8 and 9, after they play Newman in week 7, are Hall and Sherrard respectively, which I think are both games Riverdale will be favored in. So there's a real chance, and this is like, you know, looking too far ahead, but there's a legitimate chance that Riverdale goes 7-2 or potentially even 6-3. They're trying to get to the playoffs for the first time in 2011. I think they've almost, you know, as well as you can, have sealed it. I mean, they're 4-1 and have winnable games left. I certainly think they'll be able to win at least one more, but they might be able to put themselves in a really favorable spot if they can take care of business the rest of the season, you know, outside of that Newman game, which I think Newman definitely is the favorite in that one. But man, if they can get to 7-2, that would be just a terrific turnaround, as we've talked about many times, with them having to cancel the season, you know, 3 years ago, to potentially getting to host a playoff game in round one if it shakes out that way for them. That would be really, really cool for Riverdale and Coach Dierick. So great win for them last night to get to 4-1. They've got to be, you know, riding high going into, I should say, it is homecoming weekend. Those kids will probably have a great time at the dance this week, right? All right, over to the Mississippi Division. Well, we already talked about the Monmouth Roseville Princeton game. Boy, just another heartbreaker for the Sherrard Tigers last night, and just a season of just horrifically bad luck and unfortunate things that keep happening to them. And it's kind of been the theme for Sherrard football, it feels like, for, you know, nearly 15 years now. But Sherrard, as we spoke about last week, played the first three quarters last night without Carter Brown. Sherrard led 10-7 at halftime, trailed 14-10 entering the fourth when Brown got to enter the game. Sherrard played the first three quarters without any quarterbacks on their roster because their backup, Quinn Zimmerman, who has filled in, you know, admirably at times this season for Sherrard, was out sick. A sickness still, you know, is hurting and haunting the Sherrard program. So I believe Coach McGuire told me that it was going to be Jackson Jones playing quarterback, who isn't really a quarterback. He plays tight end for Sherrard offensively. And they were in the game in the fourth quarter. They got Brown back in and had it fourth and goal from, I believe, the 4-yard line. And from what Coach McGuire told me, got the ball into the end zone, but committed an illegal procedure penalty, I think, to get that wiped out. And then they weren't able to score on the retry on fourth down. So the Tigers come up just short, 14-10. They lose a game by 3 points to Hall last week in the final minute, and they come up, you know, just short, basically getting points taken off the board in the final minute this week, in the final minutes, I should say, of both games to Mendota. So back-to-back one-possession losses for the Tigers. But you just have to be, and I wasn't there, and I haven't, you know, watched the game or anything, but man, what an effort those kids must have put out there last night. Because I know going in, outside of Zimmerman and Brown, there were still a handful of kids who play both ways and start both ways for Sherrard that are still out, you know, with either being sick or hurt. And for them, the last 2 weeks, with all of the adversity coming off of the forfeit to Princeton, to battle the way they have and be in these games and have a legitimate chance at winning, and you probably could even say should have won these games, you have to give so much credit to those kids and Coach McGuire and his staff, because man, it would be really easy to throw in the towel and pack it up and say, man, this has gone terribly and there's absolutely, you know, nothing going our way. Why am I even doing this? There's only like there's less than 30 of us, you know, at practice every day because everybody's hurt and sick. But that's not the attitude those kids have had, and I think that says so much about their character and what Coach McGuire is doing over there, because, you know, from all accounts, it sounds like they're still bought in, still working really hard. So it'll be challenging this week, I know, with a game against Monmouth Roseville, who is a great team and 5-0. But week 7, you know, you got to match up with Kewaunee. They're struggling this year as well. And I really hope that the Tigers can pick up a win in week 7, because those kids, with how hard they've been, you know, playing through everything, I think really deserve to get a win and get to ring that bell over there. So just really want to mention and make sure we acknowledge those Sherrard kids who are, you know, fighting it out, grinding it out every week in really difficult and challenging circumstances. So hats off to those kids. We know they'll continue to play hard through the final 4 weeks of the season. Final game of the track last night, we were talking about Kewaunee struggling. They get thumped by Hall 44-0 as the Red Devils have won three games in a row. They're now 3-2, and they're still 3-0 in divisional play. Kewaunee drops to 0-5 on the season. Well, again, we're talking with all of our head coaches coming up next, and really want to give a special thank you to everybody who's on the show today, because as I said earlier, you know, we had to record this late last night, and all of our local coaches agreed to come on and speak with me, even though, like I said, it's really late after a long day for all of them. So really just want to make sure I mention that, acknowledge that, and thank them on the air. I did thank them personally when we were talking, you know, last night, but I do want to make sure that they know how appreciative I am of them being able to accommodate me with everything. So thank you to our local head coaches speaking with us today. Again, Mercer County head coach Fred Lucas, Sherrard head coach Dan McGuire, Orion's Chip Filler, Rockridge's Sam Graves, and Monmouth Roseville's Jeremy Adolphson. Everybody wants to hear about the Rockridge Rockets and Sam Graves. We'll talk with him first in our coaching rundown this week. Well, Coach Graves' conversation is coming up next on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29 by the buy here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, the Rockridge Rockets 5-0, beating Newman Central Catholic 26-6 at home last night to remain undefeated on the season. So, Coach Sam Graves, let's talk about the win last night. Just speak about, you know, what it meant pulling out a win over Newman in the fashion you did, 26-6.
Yeah, it was, you know, really good for our guys, for their energy, for the momentum, the belief. You know, you need moments like that for guys to, you always hope that they're, you know, buying into what you're preaching and getting better each week. So having these moments, where stuff ends right for you, you pull out the win, you know, I think it's very positive for a program standpoint. But you know, super proud. I'll say right away that we're very, very proud of our offensive line coming into the year. That was the group that we questioned the most and out loud to media and everybody, and how the success of our season might come down to how well we do up front and how quick we gel together and find the right combination, because we know we have skilled kids coming back, but you know, everybody knows, you know, wins and losses either way can pile up quick if you're really good up front or not good up front. So, you know, those guys really took over, especially in, you know, into the second quarter and second half, they really took over the game for us. I'm super proud of that unit.
Well, we talked with you coming into the game, and you felt like that was where the game was going to be won or lost, is just how well you're able to do up front on the offensive end specifically. And we also spoke about how the past 2 years struggled to score against Newman, just one touchdown in each of those games. So offensively, what do you think the difference was this year, being able to get in the end zone four times?
Yeah, you know, again, you know, those guys up front really made a difference. They give you a lot of challenges up front with multiple fronts and movement. They got to us early with some looping and some games. But it's one of those things where, you know, you knew once the guys could dig into the game plan and make adjustments that, you know, it might look really good for a player too, because they loop into the right to maybe a play for a loss or something, but we knew that we could start catching it. We'd start gashing it a little bit. So, because it does get you out of position, if you're not making the play. So, you know, just a great job by those guys up front adjusting and really being physical at the point of attack. You know, we need movement on some of our combos and some of our pulling and stuff like that. And we were really getting it done. And the guys answered the call tonight. And we put a lot on their plate this week, a lot of pressure on them. And they had to make a lot of calls up front, with a lot of different front looks. So, again, you know, going into this game, like I had told you, we knew that it was going to be won or lost up there. And we told the guys that we weren't afraid to give them that pressure. And they responded. So it was a fantastic job being able to really open up the run game. And then of course, you know, when you have those playmakers on the edge, like Colin and the receivers we have, Owen, you know, Liam, Chase, you know, those guys, and I know I'm not saying everybody, but when you have those playmakers and you can hit a couple plays and it keeps safeties out of the box and keeps them loose, then that even helps out the run game more.
Yeah, so you mentioned Colin Schweigen and some of your other, you know, skill guys that you knew that the type of players they were coming into the season. But in games like this, when you're playing a high-level opponent, you need your top guys to come through. And it looked like, you know, Colin accounted for 4 more touchdowns this week. So just speak about, you know, your quarterback's performance. I know both team-wide, but for him individually too, felt like a chance to maybe avenge a couple of losses or a couple of games he feels like maybe he didn't perform as well in as, you know, the rest of the teams he's played throughout his career. So what about his performance against Newman last night?
Yeah, it was a really nice breakthrough for him, you know, specifically everybody, but it's, you know, him with, like you said, he's had some growing pains against him his first couple years, being a young quarterback, and they do present. Coach LeMay runs a great program there and a great defense. For a high school unit, it's a pretty complex with all the fronts and the movement they give you. And, you know, I think to be able to break through with that and scoring some touchdowns, moving the ball, what we would felt comfortable with a game plan. And, I think that's a big moment for him. You know, it shows the growth, and I've said it all along that kid has just unreal physical raw talent. And once he gets the mental part of the game down, it's going to be even crazier watching this kid take another big step, because it's going to slow down that much more for him. So, you know, is big moments for him making those plays, fighting through maybe some of the first half frustrations, and really along with the offensive line kind of taking over the second half of the game. He really had control of our offense and did a nice job being a leader for us out there on the field.
What about the defensive effort for your ball club tonight? You give up the first 6 points of the night, score 26 unanswered, hold Newman scoreless from that point on. So giving up just 6 points to a team ranked, you know, number 3 in Class 1A, what was working defensively for the Rockets, you know, in this game against Newman that got you to hold them to just 1 touchdown?
Yeah, our defensive line and linebackers, you know, did so well tonight. We had Tanner McKay, Tanner Dye, and Levi Junis at the D line. We went with a 3 front a lot of the night. We rotated down to some 4 front, but, and then of course, you know, our inside linebackers are our studs with Thomas Sowards and Ryan Lower. And those 5 really got after it, up front. I don't know the numbers exactly, so I could be off, but I'm pretty sure somebody told me they had the long touchdown run where we actually had a guy for the ball carrier and we did the wrong assignment, but I'm pretty sure they only had 1 or 2 first downs the whole night. So, just a fantastic job defensively. And again, I don't know those exact stats, so I could be wrong, but you know, I know, defensively we got after it pretty good tonight. We really did a nice job, and maybe it was 1 or 2 first downs up until the point where they started throwing at the end and got 1 or 2. I don't remember, but like you said, the point is that the defense really had stepped up and had a great performance tonight, except for that one long touchdown run. Really did a great job, you know, handling a unit that's been very efficient, putting up a lot of points on people.
Well, we spoke with you preseason too. You know, outside of the offensive line, you had some big shoes to fill defensively speaking, you know, mainly about Jude Finch and Landon Bull from the past few years, who were, you know, all-state players that feels like they kind of made their name on the defensive end. So, I mean, like you said, that unit, you have to be so happy with the progress and just the level of play they've had to this point in 2025. So just what about maybe some of the kids who've stepped up, you know, filling those roles that have been able to allow, you know, this defense to pick up basically right where it left off last year?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, I think that was a big stress of ours with how do you replace those All-State guys and the leadership we lost. You know, I know specifically we always talk about, you know, Jude and Landon Bull up there on the edge and on the D-line. But we also lost Landon Wheeley, and he was our vocal and, you know, I don't know if you want to call it brains of the unit, but he was our leader on the back end of the defense. So to be able to step in, be people with new roles, new outside linebackers, couple new secondary guys, and be able to kind of seamlessly transition into this, you know, pretty physical and fast defense we've had has been really nice. You know, like I said, Tanner Dye's been a weapon down there on the D line. He's just so fast and he's physical. And Ryan Lower, just having him back after that knee injury last year, has just been such a physical presence for us at linebacker. That kid just goes and has a nonstop motor and is just a great energy for us out there on the field. So, you know, just a great job by those guys setting the tone here the beginning of the year. And we're just going to, you know, do the coach talk every week of try to get better, because we know we're still going to see a lot of, especially from the first half. I know we were disappointed, kind of got some people got some butt chewed there at halftime with some of the sloppiness we saw, and we dropped a lot of balls, had some penalties, just some dumb mistakes, and just needed to settle in and play our game plan and communicate up front so guys weren't on different pages, and we knew we could get it done.
So now past the halfway point of the regular season, I know there are different checkpoints and different goals this program has, and you want to do more than, you know, maybe win a conference championship, but you did take a big step towards winning a conference title with the win tonight. And, you know, every win matters, and you talk about trying to get a good draw in the postseason, which is where you really want to have your success, I know, at the level of team that, you know, you think and that you've proven to have to this point of the season. So just, you know, winning a game against an opponent of this caliber, you know, with all of those type of things on the line, still four games to play in the regular season, but just how big did it feel tonight, you know, getting the win in the fashion you did?
Well, it's big for us. It really is. You know, I think I said it, what was that, week two after Princeton, I think week two, you know, that felt like a playoff quarterfinal type environment and game to be able to come back the way we did and fight and be able to pull out that win. And it was kind of like another, you know, second round quarterfinal playoff feel tonight with the crowd and the week of preparation where the kids knew it was a big game. So to be able to, you know, come out on top and really see some progress we saw is a positive for our program. It's really something we should be able to feed off of. And like I said, as long as we come next week and understand it's not the end of it, and we're not where we want to be, that we still can get better, need to get better to make a true run where we want to in November. We're going to be in good shape. If we keep showing up and working and having that, you know, lunch pail, blue collar mentality of never being satisfied and working our tail off, by the end of the year, I think we're going to be a pretty tough out in the playoffs.
And just wrapping up with you, you know, this morning, Coach Graves, as we look ahead to next week, a matchup with the Orion Chargers at home and coming off of a game of, you know, the magnitude that it had and kind of all of the hype leading into it and all the noise leading into it this week. What was kind of the message maybe as you try to refocus and get ready to take on a local rival next week to try to keep things rolling?
Yeah, you know, we always tell the guys to enjoy this in the weekend. They deserve it. You know, they put in the work. And they have those rewards on Friday night, but they need to smile a little bit with each other and their family and friends and enjoy that. Us coaches are weird, and losses eat at you for days and weeks and months, and wins, you're happy for about an hour and you move on. So, you know, it was kind of that message, those kids enjoy, but we need to come ready to work on Monday. And we know, you know, with Voorhees sitting there, that's an awful explosive kid that can turn an 80-yard touchdown into anything from running the ball, receiving, whatever it is. So we know that we need to be ultra attentive this week with our game plan and with getting better. It should be a good one. Whenever, I think we said at the beginning of the year with that first game with Sherrard, you know, it doesn't matter records. it doesn't matter who's supposed to be good and who's supposed to be that much better than somebody. When Rockridge plays Orion, when Rockridge plays Sherrard, Mercer County, there's just those teams where you know it's going to be a good game. We know each other well. Coach Filler does a great job with them and having them prepared, and they have an explosive offense. So we know it's going to be a challenge. We'll be excited for it, and I hope our kids will be ready next Friday.
Rockridge head coach Sam Graves joining us on Sportsline. Rockets 26-6 winners over the Newman Central Catholic Comets in week 5. Great win last night, Coach Graves. Thanks for talking with us, man. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, I'm Ty Taylor. We're back with more on WRMJ after this.
Now at 6140 Run, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka, lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140 Run. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
And back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, speaking with Sherrard Tiger head coach Dan McGuire. Tigers come up just short in week 5, falling at home to Mendota 14-10. So I guess, coach, we'll kind of just start by speaking about the adversity that your kids have continued to battle through. I know very shorthanded last night, again, playing basically without, you know, any normal quarterback for the first three quarters of the night. So just speak about the effort your kids put out there, you know, with adverse circumstances, coming up a little bit short, but sounded like still fought really hard.
You know, I'm proud of our kids. They stepped up. You know, things happen. You mentioned adversity, and we've been talking about it, seems like every week, and something keeps popping up. And Jackson Jones did a great job stepping up in quarterbacks, had very few snaps at all through the course of the season so far, but he stepped up and did a nice job for us filling in, and the rest of the teams rallied around him, and you know, the kids played hard. They hit hard. They had a lot of good plays, but unfortunately, not enough. Mendota played us tough as well, so it was a hard fought game.
So I know last night for you, we're driving the ball down 14-10 in the fourth quarter, maybe, you know, 2-3 minutes or so on the clock. You get it down, I think, within the 5-yard line, fourth and goal, unable to, you know, punch it across to get the game-winning score. So just speak, you know, about the conclusion of that drive and maybe where you came up short, not quite able to get into the end zone.
Well, we're sort of a grind-it-out type of offense, you know, and every yard or 2-3 yards is important to us. And unfortunately, we just got too many procedure calls against us moving before the ball was snapped by individuals that, you know, instead of, being second in goal at the 2 or 3, it's now we're backed up to the 7 or 8 yard line. And then we get another one and we keep, you know, shooting ourselves in the foot and going backwards. It's just too bad. The kids work hard and all that. And like I told the individuals jumping off, you know, it just takes that discipline, but I can't fault them for the fact of their desire and their effort. You know, they're trying to beat the opponents off the ball and be quicker and get into them. And that's what we try to coach, but just being able to settle back and not put ourselves in long situations like we found ourselves. So, you know, again, I'm proud of the effort. They played hard, like they have, you know, since we've begun. So I just feel bad for them because they are trying so hard and things haven't gone their way as far as health and injuries and different things, but they keep bouncing back and coming back and playing hard. So I can't fault them for that. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of to be part of the team.
Well, I know it can be frustrating and disheartening, especially for kids, when the last 2 weeks, I mean, you very easily could have won both of those games against Hall and Mendota, but come up, you know, just short basically in the final minutes of both of them. And you've spoke a lot about, you know, how much you enjoy being around the kids and how hard they work, and the attitudes have been great still despite, you know, a tough start to the season. So what was your message, you know, after the game to Mendota last night, where you come up just short again? And do you think the kids, you know, still receptive to it as you move to week six next week?
Well, I'm sure they're down in the dumps right now, but I told them to keep their heads held high, because, you know, football is not an easy sport. And you know, we don't have a lot of kids out because maybe it's too difficult for other individuals, and the time and the commitment that goes into it as well. So proud of them, you know, for their effort and being part of it and keep coming back. You know, we've talked about getting knocked down and get back up, and it's not once or twice. You know, they're hanging with it. They responded. They want to keep going at it, and we've got a tougher game next week, and all we can do is come out and try to play as hard as we possibly can, and hopefully we start getting healthy as you know, we start going through the latter games of the season.
Yeah, and something that we've talked with you throughout the season, of course, is the adversity and just the absolute onslaught of different things that have been, you know, challenges for you and the kids to overcome. So I guess the question I have for you is just, like, you know, you've been around the game a long time at the high school level. Have you ever, like, seen or experienced anything in terms of just what feels like the unbelievable bad luck you've had over the past 5 weeks? I mean, it's been crazy, you know, from my end.
Absolutely not. You know, I haven't experienced it, and that makes it even harder, you know, to know how hard the kids are working and they've had to endure so much. You know, the only time I really can remember ever going to my second string quarterback was 1 year in the mid 90s. Quarterback went down with a broken leg in the second half, and we went to our second string quarterback. That's the only time I can ever remember, you know, having to go to our second string quarterback, let alone our third string. So, but it's been that way at multiple positions, due to, you know, health concerns and things like that, more than even the injuries. So, It's you know, you cringe, you know, to look to see who's in school that day and what the next issue might be. But like I said, they keep coming back, and I've got more respect. You know, I've coached a lot of winning teams over the years too, and I have found that the kids work harder and the coaches work harder when things aren't going the way that you hope, because you have to keep fighting through things, and we've certainly done that. So I have a tremendous amount of respect for the kids, because they haven't given up and they keep fighting, and you know, even regardless of what the odds have been, they keep coming back.
Well, yeah, really two competitive games after the week you had to forfeit against Princeton. So just speaking, you know, I know we're now past the halfway point of the season, you know, from week one now through week five, as you look ahead to week six, outside of just the effort which you've applauded the kids of all year, I mean, what have been some of the things you've seen maybe that have grown on the field specifically from week one to week five now into week six?
Well, I think they're starting to grasp, you know, what's expected of them as players and as a team, and coming together and fighting through, you know, if there's a bad call or if, you know, we turn the ball over or we get a untimely penalty and stuff like that, is rallying around each other rather than getting down on one another, is trying to pick each other up. And you know, the sign of a true leader is not just, you know, their own performance, but making the people around them play better as well. And I'm starting to see that, you know, they're growing as young men as well. You know, life isn't always easy, and it's how you respond when adversity hits. You know, it's easy to jump on the bandwagon and be part of something when things are going right. But when they're tough, you find the true character of people, and you know, I'm proud of the way they're resilient and they keep coming back.
Just as we wrap up with you this morning, Coach McGuire, just any timeline on some of the kids you're missing? I mean, I know it's hard with the type of things you're dealing with. I mean, do you expect to get back, you know, maybe more healthy for next week against Monmouth Roseville, or do you have, like, any sort of idea of timeline for when some of your kids can get back?
You know, I don't know. I'll check, you know, after every game the next day on Saturday morning. The kids are in there at 8 o'clock, which isn't easy for them, but they have an opportunity then to see the trainer and start working on getting themselves healed up. So I'll find out tomorrow morning a little bit about what we have and sort of like what the outlook is for the different individuals and how we look at going in next week as a team.
All right, Charlotte head coach Dan McGuire joining us on WRMJ this morning. Tigers fall in week 5 to Mendota 14-10. Coach, I appreciate the time. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Hey, Ty, just want to say I'm proud to be associated with these guys and you know, they're winners in many different ways than a record. So that's the most important thing to me. So thank you, and thank you for covering high school sports.
Appreciate you, Coach. We're back with more on WRMJ after this.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, speaking with Orient Charger head coach Chip Filler. Chargers fall on the road to Riverdale last night, 42-28. So, Coach, I guess just kind of start by giving your overarching, you know, thoughts and takeaways from the game last night where you come up, you know, just a couple of scores short on the road.
Well, it's, you know, it's the story of our season. You know, 1 week we come out really hot, and then the next week it takes us a while to get started. We spot them 21 points. We're lucky we didn't give them a little bit more. I don't remember exactly what the score is when this happened, but I think it was 21-0. They kicked off to us and we fumbled. They were getting ready to go up and they should have been up 28-0. They give the ball right back to us on an interception, probably not the greatest throw. And I bet that kid, I wish he had it back, but, we get an interception there and then Owen breaks off a long run and now we're 21-7. They go down and score to make it 28-7. We get the ball back with a minute 20. Kale takes us 80 yards inside the 2 minutes. We score, and we're getting the second half kickoff. And then we score coming out of the break. So now it's 28-21. We get them off the field, have this kind of stall there in the third quarter. Have to punt, get them off the field again. Our defense comes up with two good stops. And then offensively, we just kind of bogged down. They gave up another score, but then we fought right back, had a great kick return by Aaron Moore, got us in the end zone and again we're back within seven. So I mean, if we don't do that, and River does a really good football team, they really are, you know, and I'm trying to be sarcastic with it, they're much better than what they had been in the past. They're really big, they're really fast, backs run hard, defensively they've got a good scheme. Thought it would give us a little bit of trouble, but, you know, 28 points, so they probably outsmarted them. Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, I thought it was a great battle between two good teams, you know, very evenly matched. You got to go on the road, so you're down seven. And I do believe, I told the boys, I think they might be 7 points better than us, but we can make up that 7 points. We just couldn't make up that 14 and couldn't get over that hump. But pretty good football game. I think both sides around is pretty clean, you know, penalty-wise, turnover-wise. I thought it was two really good football teams that could potentially be in the playoffs.
Coach Filler, I know we talked with you, I believe, going into week 3, and you said you just felt like if you didn't spot teams' leads, you know, you could really, really take the next step. And, it, you know, like you just touched on the game with Riverdale last night, 21-0, you get down and you fight back and you're in the game, just not quite able to get over that hump. So what kind of led to the slow start, you think?
Well, you know, our walkthrough on Thursday wasn't really, really good. We went out today, you know, before we get on the bus and we're going through stuff and, you know, our focus wasn't exactly where it needed to be. And so it was just an odd kind of deal. You know, we just didn't respond. And then it always has to be like something good has to happen for us instead of us making something good happen for us, if that makes sense to you. So like when we turned the ball over and they're going up 28-0, I mean, it wasn't I wouldn't say spectacular interception by Owen more than it was probably a bad play, a bad pass probably by that quarterback. And we get an interception, and then Owen rips off 50 yards, and then all of a sudden now we can exhale, and now we're in the game. And we got to find a way to make something good happen for us, make it happen. You know, I thought we did that against Mercer County. I thought we did that against Spring Valley Hall. But, the losses, we're just kind of taking it, you know what I'm saying, and just waiting for Owen to make a play or waiting for Caleb to make a play or Max to make a play. And then it's okay, and then we're back in the game. That shouldn't be that way. Like, we should go out as a unit, as a collective team, feel good about what we're doing, be confident in our schemes, be confident in the game plan, and go take it to people rather than just wait for a gift, so to speak.
Well, we're now past the midway point of the regular season. You're at 2-3, and I know the schedule the rest of the way for you is Rock Ridge, then Erie Prophetstown, and then you close the season with a couple of crossover games against Sherrard and Kewaunee. You know, if you want to play into week 10, you got to get 3 of those 4. So just the outlook as you look ahead down the schedule, you know, trying to fight your way back into the postseason.
Well, you know, again, they're all winnable. I mean, I would still even say even Rock Ridge. I know Rock Ridge people will totally disagree with me, and they're playing fantastic at 5-0 and really took care of Newman, you know, last night. So, I mean, you know, my hat's off to them. You know, I have utmost respect for Sam and what they do over there. You're going to see two great quarterbacks going head-to-head next Friday, and Colin and Cale. And, you know, we're going to, you know, hope to give them a game. I think we will. I think the rivalry's there. But like I said, you got to win 3. We have Sherrard on the, you know, you have Sherrard and Kewaunee the last 2, but I think the pivotal game comes down to Erie Prophetstown. If we can't, you know, that's got to be part of the 3. And to be totally honest, 6 is a lot more of where we want to be than just, you know, just getting to 5. So I know that means we got to win out. And, you know, the worst thing that ever happens to me, Ty, during the day is I have student body. I have, like, you know, kids that don't play football or whatever, and they'll walk up to me, hey, so, hey, coach, are we going to win tonight? And I hate that conversation because, you know, I'm like, well, we're not going to places to lose. And if you ask me if we're going to win, if we were playing the Chicago Bears, are probably a bad example because I think we probably would beat them. if we're playing somebody really, really good, we're playing Ohio State and going to the Shoe, I'm going to tell you we're going to win because I have a lot of confidence in our team and I have a lot of confidence in what we do. But I hate that. I hate answering that, you know, hey, are we going to win? Because it's not that easy for me just to say yes, and because it's not that easy for us to just go out and win games. And that goes for anybody in this league. I think probably Coach Graves has the same question asked to him, and you know, Coach Whitebread, all the way down. So this is a dogfight in and out. We're gonna give him heck here next week in Edgington, and we know we got to get the 3-4 wins here to get us in the playoffs. I still think we're a playoff team, so I feel good about our chances.
Yeah, and just, you know, Coach, as we start to wrap up with you this morning, I think we knew coming into the season that the difference maker for you in terms of team-wide success is going to be, you know, how far along was your defense going to be able to get? Because like we've talked about, we know the offense is going to be there with Cale and Owen and all the other playmakers you have and the system you run. You know you're going to be able to score points. So just defensively, you know, I know 42 points last night against Riverdale, but through 5 weeks holistically, I mean, are you confident maybe in where you're at looking ahead to week 6?
Yeah, right now we're banged up. If we can get healthy, especially healthy in our secondary, you know, I see the last, you know, the last half of the season being okay. I mean, we give up a ton of weight up front, and our boys fight to the very end. They do everything they can. They claw their way. And again, they can't came up with some great stops there in the second. So I don't think we're, I think defensively we're okay. Hey, we are plus, I think we're plus 12, 10 or 12 in the turnover ratio this season. That's a huge difference from where we were. And not because we don't turn the ball over, but we weren't getting turnovers last year. Now we are actually getting turnovers and doing stuff with them. I think I think we have 11 turnovers, 11 or 12, and I think we have scored on offense after those, every single one of those, after those turnovers. And it's kind of flipped that momentum. So we are opportunistic that way. We are giving up some points because we are just, we're just small. But the boys are playing their tails off. I think things will even themselves out. I really do. But we got to get healthy going down the stretch. And, you know, we're, I mean, everybody's this way. It's week five. Everybody's a little beat up. We got to get ourselves healthy so we can give ourselves the best chance to go out there and be successful.
And then just last thing, Coach Filler, you previewed a little bit there, but just speak a little bit more about what you expect out of the matchup with Rock Ridge next week. Obviously, you mentioned, you know, they're riding high at 5-0 so far. And just kind of speak about what you expect.
Well, I expect a raucous atmosphere at Edgington. I know they love me when I come over there. Their fans will get after us. I'm sure, you know, it'll be great between me and Cale and their student body and all their fans. And I'm sure they'll have some nice pleasantries to say to us. And, you know, it'll come down to, for us defensively, you know, coming up with some key stops and hoping we can turn them over a little bit. They've been taking care of the ball. I don't even know if Colton's thrown a pick yet this year. So, I know that's tough. They're playing with a lot of momentum. They're playing with a lot of swagger, playing with a lot of confidence. They probably have no reason to be scared of us at this point. So maybe that'll play into our favor. Now, as I'm saying that, they're all going to listen to this interview and go, hey, we're going to take it to them, right? But, you know, I always feel like we have a chance in every game because of Cale and Owen. And then Max is starting to come along. We get a couple stops here and there, or maybe they keep us in the game late, you know, and you never know because it's high school football and, you never know what 16, 17 year old kid's going to show us. But I always feel like I'm pretty confident when I know that one and two are going to be out there.
All right, Orion head coach Chip Filler joining us this morning. Chargers fall last night to Riverdale 42-28. Coach, I appreciate the time, man, and we'll talk to you next week getting ready for the matchup with the Rockets.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, I'm Ty Taylor. More coming up on WRMJ.
Now at 6140 Run, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka. Lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140 Run. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
All right, back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, speaking with Monmouth Roseville head coach Jeremy Adolfson. Titans moved to 5-0, 36-8 winners over Princeton on the road in week five last night. So, Coach Adolfson, just walk us through, how'd you do it on the road, winning the way you did against Princeton last night?
Just kind of the what's our MO, I guess. We were really, really good running the football once again. Thought we did a really good job up front and kind of slowly got things going early and got, you know, had a 14-0 lead at half, and then had the ball coming out second half and punched another one in and got another stop, and just kind of, you know, really took over the game there up front. I think we ended up rushing just a little over 320 yards and we held them to 30. So it was a really good effort on both sides of the ball, and just really happy with how our kids went out and executed the game plan, and most importantly, just played super physical all night.
Yeah, just the meaning of this win. I know it's a game that a lot of people had circled as saying basically, you know, the division championship on the line. I know there are still a couple of games to be played in week 6 and 7 to finish that out. But with what the two programs have been over the past few years and what, you know, this game has meant over the past few years too, just what did the win feel like it meant, you know, especially the way you got it too.
Yeah, you know, I think it was a big just kind of validation for our guys. You know, last year obviously was kind of a surprise to win the way we did, you know, but then that, you know, that kind of puts the bullseye on you for the next year when you got to know you got to take the trip to Princeton and it's their homecoming and they're all fired up. And we kind of laid it out to the kids that, you know, you put yourself in the situation and last year was great. But, you know, we're still climbing that ladder a little bit. You know, Princeton was at the top for so dang long that now, you know, this is a really big challenge because now you're trying to go defend a conference title and you're going to go to their place. You know, it's kind of like when Princeton was on their run, you know, every single time they played, they were putting it on the line against who they were playing because they just had such a stronghold on the conference and how good they'd been. So to flip that pressure a little bit to our side, you know, it was just interesting to see how our kids would handle it. But man, they've just, I mean, all season long, we performed so well. We just really haven't had, you know, kind of a bad quarter, you know, or a bad, you know, whatever it is. We just, there's been a bad couple plays here and there, and they just find ways to make the plays that have to be made, and play incredibly physical. And tonight was what I kind of hoped going into it. They really had trouble tackling, you know, Montrey and Houston on the first contact. That almost, I don't know if it ever did happen. We even got Lars Berggren got going pretty good for us. He was kind of our third back, but he had some really big runs for us throughout the game. And then on the defensive side, like I said, we really just, they couldn't get anything going running the ball, and they just kind of started getting in their spread stuff and trying to get the ball outside quick. And I think they had to throw a dozen probably screens behind the line of scrimmage just trying to get out in space because they are faster than us for sure. But man, our guys just lined up correctly and took angles you know, and then obviously the confidence factor. I think that win last year gave us confidence, but I think it also gave them a sense of doubt. So when things started going our way, it kind of really felt like there wasn't much of a chance it could turn the opposite direction, which is, you know, when you're coaching, that's a pretty great feeling.
Well, you alluded to it, you know, when you were talking there about Princeton and just the run that they have been on over the past, you know, 7 or 8 years or whatever it's been when they've really got it rolling with Coach Pearson. And, you know, we've talked about it a lot with them. It just feels like they're a program that doesn't lose very often, doesn't lose conference games very often. So, you know, it was not just, you know, a really good team you were playing, but a really, you know, great and established program. So the last 2 years to beat them, you know, 31-3 and now 36-8 in consecutive years. I mean, does that add to the feeling? I mean, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but I'm curious to hear what you have to say. Just the dominance you've been able to have over them the past two seasons.
Without a doubt, you know, I actually started practice on Tuesday. I think we were talking and I was listing off the teams that had beaten Princeton once since 2018, which we were one of those teams, and it's not a very long list. And then I went down the list of teams that had beat Princeton twice since 2018. And I think I'm right on this, but I think it's Newman. Now it's us, Byron, Immaculate Conception, and Montini. Like, I think those are the teams that have done that. You know, it's not just that Princeton's been so dang good. Like, it's taken the absolute powers of the state to knock them off in the playoffs. You know, they just don't lose games. And because of that, you know, their kids are going to show up and they're going to fight and they're going to expect to win. And so, you know, when you're trying to, like I said, climb that ladder a little bit and get yourself to where, you know, when they start mentioning the top teams in the conference, you know, we know it's year in, year out. It's Rockridge, it's Newman, it's Princeton. And we're just fighting like heck to try to get a fourth name in there. So I think it does mean a lot. I think, you know, our kids, they don't, you know, obviously don't grasp things that started 7 years ago, probably, but they do understand. Even last year, you know, Princeton hadn't scored 3 points since like Byron held them to three and the quarterfinals in 2019, I think it was. It's just crazy to think the run that they've been on. So to get wins like that from your kids, and they just, like I said, just the look on their face, the elation that they're feeling, the good feelings they have, like that's why you get into this deal here, you know. And again, when we started off this season, I don't know that even we thought, you know, we can go beat these guys by four touchdowns again. You know, it just seemed like so far out of the realm with the guys that we had lost and the guys we're trying to replace. But man, our guys are they show up every week and they get better. And, you know, we got one of our best players back on the field this week in Andrew Way. So I think we're a team that's, you know, we're still capable of adding and really improving down the stretch, but we'll have to, because, you know, you beat Princeton, you feel really good about it. And there's still some really good football teams in front of us, you know, down the last 4 weeks of the schedule.
Well, yeah, something you were talking about there, you know, earlier was just the level of kids you had to replace last year. I think coming into the season, like most teams, there's always, you know, question marks and where the new kind of pieces fit with where the kids, you know, left, what they left behind. So through 5 weeks, I mean, with this 2025 group, obviously off to a great start at 5-0, just are you maybe surprised at how far along you are, especially, like you said, playing without one of your top returners the first 4 weeks of this season in Andrew Way? So just, I mean, speak to the progress in 2025 so far through 5 weeks, now past the halfway point.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I told you I thought this is where we'd be right now. You know, I thought we're absolutely capable of winning five games, but I don't think that I would have even thought we could have been as dominant as we were the first 4 weeks, and then essentially kind of similar tonight. You know, we knew we had really good football players coming back, but we knew we didn't have the total depth that we had a year ago, really at any position. And then we had some huge question marks. And then you throw in a two-way starter for 2 years as a unanimous all-conference kid not being able to play at the beginning of the year. And now you're really feeling like, man, do we have enough? You know, are they going to find some people that you aren't sure if they can play at that level? But man, just every guy has stepped up, and the level improvement, our offensive line, and we get a lot of praise for that, and we absolutely should. But you know, we returned two absolute studs on the left side, but from center to tight end, four positions, which we play five guys in those four positions throughout the game. Those guys were all brand new with essentially no meaningful snaps of varsity football. And, you know, we're running for 330 yards against Princeton. You know, it's just incredible. Those guys have jumped right in and just kind of picked up where the guys that left off. And I give a lot of credit to our kids in the past couple of years that have helped build this. I give a ton of credit to our senior leaders that have been around and been starters for 3 years now. But I give a lot of credit to those kids for stepping up and playing to that level. And I said, and really that's the cool part. You see some kids that, you know, got garbage time minutes last year and that was it. And now they're starters and they're fired up and they're ready to go and they're communicating and they've got suggestions and thoughts at halftime. Like they're just having so much fun now, really being in the thick of it. And that's part of the battle. You know, football isn't always fun, but when you're having success and you're feeling good about yourself, I think it's contagious at practice, because some of these kids are like, they're having a great time, because for the first time in their lives, like, they're one of the main dudes out there. And it's just, it's cool to see. And it kind of keeps everybody fresh at practice, because I mean, we all know, like, there's days that as a player, you don't want to be out there, you know, but we got some kids that are really, I think, relishing this opportunity that they've had and they've created.
Well, and as we wrap up with you, I know like the coach speak is, you know, you take it 1 week at a time and everything. But when you look at your schedule down the line, I know it's Rock Ridge, you know, in week 8 and then Newman in week 9. And as you know, with what like the 3A postseason picture is and just the type of programs that are in there, like you listed some of them off that have, you know, played Princeton in the postseason over the past few years that have been able to beat them. Like there are some just phenomenal, great programs and teams that are there. So, I mean, how important, I know this is a huge win this week for you over Princeton, but how important is every game for you moving forward to try to put yourself, you know, in the best possible place, you know, factoring into that postseason bracket in 3A?
Yeah, it's a challenge. And the thing, and we've seen it year in and year out, once we got in it, you start going through the 16 teams that'll be in the North, and there's like a list of maybe three teams that you want to play, you know, like it's just because there's going to be teams, you know, some of those private schools are going to have a couple losses. Well, you're trying to figure out, well, shoot, we could be a 4 seed, but then play a 13 seed that's really only lost to teams that are going to be 6A quarterfinalists. You know, like it's difficult, but obviously you want to go out and win as many games as you can. You want to be home. We only had 4 home games this year, so, you know, we'd love to get back to a home playoff game first round. And but yeah, I think, you know, this conference absolutely prepares you. You know, it's, we play really good football teams and we got some really good ones in front of us, and the way our schedule, you know, wraps up, you're playing essentially the two best teams on the other side, you know. And so what could be more preparation for the playoffs than having such tough games down the stretch? And it doesn't guarantee anything, as we found out a year ago, but you want to stay focused, you want to win each game, but we know it's just part of the deal. Like the 3A North, there isn't There's never going to be an easy way. And I don't think there's probably a lot of easy spots, but 3A North probably would work towards the top of all the playoffs as far as just the quality of teams you have. And even teams that are might be a 14, 15, 16 seed, but like they won state titles in the last 10 years. It's just, it's crazy. So like I said, we want to keep winning. Obviously, most important thing is get a home game, give yourself a good shot, and then just see what happens. You know, 2 years ago, we barely get in the playoffs and we win a playoff game. Last year, we're 8-1 and come off a great win against Newman and we get beat in the first round. So you can't really control those things, but obviously you want to be in the best spot possible for your program, for your kids.
All right. Monmouth Roseville coach Jeremy Adolphson joining us on Sportsline this morning. Titans, a big win over Princeton last night, 36-8. Coach, I appreciate the time, man. And I picked Princeton this game, so I guess I'm an idiot, I suppose. Thanks, man.
Hey, no problem. We appreciate our kids gave you a little shout out on the instant reacts there. So you have to check that out when you get a chance.
Thanks, coach. We'll talk to you down the line, man.
Thanks, Ty.
All right. I'm Ty Taylor. More coming up on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi. I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Well, we're back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com speaking with Mercer County Golden Eagle head coach Fred Lucas. Golden Eagles fall tonight at home to Erie Prophetstown 43-15. And, you know, it felt like that drive you went on midway to the late portion of the second quarter, capped off by a 3-yard touchdown run by Ocampo to make it 15-8. You get the stop, get the ball back, and are moving it. But then it was just kind of the turnover hurt that leads to the touchdown, and then they score to begin the second half. So it goes from potentially maybe trying to tie it or take the lead to, you know, in the blink of an eye, basically going from that to down 21 points instead. So a big swing there. So I know it's kind of a theme we've talked about throughout the year, but it just felt like another night tonight where the turnovers came at a really inopportune time.
Yeah. We're still making some growing pains here, you know, and trying to figure out the guys that can give it to us, play in and play out. And, we've shown flash. We're a pretty good football team until we're not. You know, and that drive in the second quarter was, you know, reminiscent of what we did to start the game last week. And we got whatever we've got going on, we've got to bottle it up so that we make sure that we can keep it. But, you know, those drives were efficient. We were inside, outside, and we mixed things up a little bit. And we just got to make sure we stay consistent with some of that stuff and finish out some of these games.
Well, yeah, and the thing that really hurts is, again, like when you look at the statistics in this game, I mean, I feel like it was a little closer than the final score, you know, indicates. 14 first downs to 10, Mercer County in front of that statistic, but they did outgain you 365-232. But like we said, the fumble was a big play. The kickoff return is a big play. The interception that gets returned for a touchdown is a big play. It's like three big plays that basically lead to 21 points, and that just is really, really hard to come back from. So, I mean, I know the score isn't what you want, but did you feel like maybe you saw some steps forward tonight?
I think we did defensively. Yeah, you don't look at the scoreboard and we gave up 43 points, but Coach Russell, we came up with a plan this week and we simplified, you know, we have to simplify the defense and give them one read and go, you know, and same thing with our pass coverage. We had one little hiccup that led to that touchdown there at the scoreboard in tonight, but you know, I felt that we did a decent job of containing their quarterback on the run. I mean, he's a dangerous kid, and we talked about before, he had twice as many carries as their next guy, which means that they really value his potential to help the team. But we just, again, we got to stay consistent. Our schemes are simple. We just got to make sure that we execute and tackle when we get to the point of attack.
And so you limit Winkler to just 18 yards on 8 carries, though he does pass for 172 yards, 9 of 12, and 3 touchdowns. And like you said, it felt like the secondary, it was just a few, you know, big plays where I thought you actually had the first touchdown they scored defended pretty well. It was just a jump ball that the receiver went up and made the play in the back of the end zone. You mentioned the touchdown to the scoreboard side, which looked like maybe a little bit of a blown coverage where he got behind a couple of defenders. But, I mean, overall, secondary, just the issues you maybe noticed on those plays specifically that allowed them to score 14 points off of those two big plays.
Again, yeah, I it's hard to look at the scoreboard and say this, but I feel like we played better in the secondary. That first touchdown, man, Logan had that thing played about as well as he could have had it. I mean, that kid was, his toes were on the back line, and he was just 6 inches taller than Logan and made a nice catch on that. But he really had him defended well, and the kid made a nice throw on the play there. You know, the other touchdown, we the underneath guy needed to carry, and we got crossed up there, but you know, but again, that just shows you in this game you can do everything you're supposed to do with the exception of three plays that it ends up in 14 points on the scoreboard.
Yeah, so when you look at this game too, I mean, when you play through it and you come up short like this, it just maybe positives you were able to take away from the matchup tonight. One thing I liked is I know we were kind of concerned coming in with Mason Gray being out, but I thought, you know, Ocampo gave you some really good yards. The looks Eli Boswell gave you in the fourth quarter scores a touchdown too. Just what'd you maybe make of those two? Because we've talked about them throughout the season, but it feels like they're kind of progressing as they get more used to playing varsity football.
Yeah, definitely so. And that's, you know, I wanted to get Eli in the game there and get him some carries on a Friday night and get him acclimated to that game. And Ex Ocampo is, you know, he's recovering from a little bit of a foot injury, and that's why we've kind of nursed him back a little bit. Now he's going to have to be more heavily involved, and he got in on some defensive stuff tonight because he's actually one of our better defensive players. We want to make sure he's 100% healthy before we commit him to playing both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and then defensively tonight, like we talked about, now there were a few kind of big runs, but Monty and I spoke about, you know, especially in the first half, we were really impressed with how you were able to, you know, limit their running game, where they do spread it out, but it feels like they like to run it first, for sure, out of that look. And outside of really the big run on the fake punt, which isn't, you know, really like a true offensive defensive snap traditionally, felt like the run, especially early, was pretty good. So what'd you maybe make or see out of the defense maybe in the box tonight that you liked?
Yeah, well, again, we're trying to make sure that we maximize all the guys that we have. So the three guys that played down inside did a pretty good job. We had them rotated in there, you know, between the guys in and out of there. You know, J.J. Smock, Spencer Andreessen, Carter Dale, you know, started the game in there, and J.J. had some injury issues with his leg, and then we had to throw a few other guys in there. But, you know, they kind of plugged up the middle there and, you know, help the linebackers be able to run free, which is part of this defensive scheme.
All right, so fall tonight to Erie Prophetstown. You look ahead, you know, Newman next week, Rockridge, Princeton, Mendota in the final 4 weeks of the season. Of course, you know, a really challenging three-week stretch coming up, starting with a road trip to Sterling on Saturday next week. Just the message to your kids as you try to regroup going into, you know, a couple, maybe three really, really, really good teams you got on the schedule.
Everybody can be a front runner. That's what I told him after the game. I'm like, you know, when the chips, when everything's going great and everybody's hooting and hollering, everybody wants to be involved and everybody wants to be a part of it. What we're going to judge you by and how we're going to make sure that we get through this tough stretch is how you perform and how you approach things when things maybe not necessarily go your way. You know, and that's how you're going to be resilient in life, not just in football, but everything you do. You're going to face a lot of bad opportunity or, excuse me, some adverse situations, and your body language and how you approach them is going to directly affect the outcome. And we're going to get after it this week like it's our opening week of the season, just like we do every week.
All right, Mercer County Golden Eagle, Coach Fred Lucas talking with us postgame. Appreciate the time, Coach. We'll see you getting ready for the comments next week.
Yep, thank you.
All right, we'll come back and wrap it up after this on WRMJ.
Now at 6140RUN, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka, lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140RUN. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Winding down Sportsline week 5 of the 2025 high school football season in the books. We're back inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. Again, want to say a big thank you to all 5 of the head coaches who spoke with us, all speaking with us last night to accommodate still being on the program. Very appreciative of that. Past the halfway point of the season now, we look ahead to week 6. 3 games across the WRMJ airwaves next weekend across 2 separate days. On Friday night, we'll have Rock Ridge at home against Orion, and then also Sherrard playing at home against Monmouth Roseville. And Saturday next week, a week from today, Mercer County has the road to take on the Newman Central Catholic Comets at Roscoe Eads Stadium. Fighting Illini football coming up today on WRMJ. When we get done with the close of the program here, we'll take you to the Fighting Illini Sports Network. Illinois hosting USC. That's coming up with an 11 o'clock kickoff this morning here on WRMJ. Thanks for tuning in to Sportsline from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. I'm Ty Taylor for WRMJ Sports.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.